We are children of God, St. Paul reminds us. The Holy Ghost assures us today, and if we are his children, his heirs also, sharing the inheritance of Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Consider today the unjust steward. We really need to take a page out of his book. The uncompromising devotion, the keen interest of the natural man for money and for success and for power. Think of the oligarchs. Nothing stops them in unrolling their plan. Deep state comes to the surface. This is the reason for the gospel story, for the parable. Because that kind of a man should serve as a good model for you who are meant to be a supernatural man, or time-serving, sluggish, half-hearted, timid service of our Lord. And yes, the times we actually cheated him. But you can settle accounts. You can pay what you owe. How that? Today, as Holy Mass continues, out of the chalice of his precious blood offered to the Father on Calvary, present and offered at this altar this morning, our debts and more, you can enter into your inheritance and more, and have enough when Mass is done, left over for others. It is truly a little bit of heaven. It's fork taste, because you are heirs. You are scheduled to inherit. Who would have dared dream up such a happy ending? Which goes on giving. Instead of the steward, who is the money manager, really. But he does teach us. He teaches us today's class on converting creative energy of the worldly for a supernatural purpose. But there's only one condition. Be quick about it. Sede cito, the gospel sings. Sit down quickly. Move. Debtors do in the gospel story. Will we move to do what? Well, to give away sometimes yourself, but when it comes to self, you only get one. Give wisely, give well. But when they, the oligarchs, want to give you something, they're desperate. They're determined. They want to give you something in the arm. Remember, they're not offering you eternal life, nor even natural life. These are three topics that have come up of late. They're not related, but they are related. That's how things work. First, about being a baptismal sponsor. Certainly, it is an honor to be asked and an opportunity to give of yourself. And believe me, this is the point. But what about the serious obligations? It's not just a family honor for a day. You shouldn't be intimidated, but you should take them seriously. The duties of a godparent are only two. First, in the measure possible, be careful your godchild lives up to the life you promised for him when you recited the words of the rite of baptism. Second, should something happen to the parents, you are meant to see to your godchild's religious education. Now, these obligations are not absolute, and in our world, most of the time, you could not step in, as a matter of fact, and take over anyway. However, you could note their names, perhaps on a little holy card in a prayer book. You could pray for them. You could even stay in touch with them. Oh, and give them a good example. Give of yourself. Make friends. Go outside the family, that they may receive you into everlasting dwellings. Second, with all of our young people now, and how happy was the scene last Sunday at the High Mass, the church full and resounding with the High Mass music, the chant and the hymns. With all of our young people now, some are, of course, heading towards marriage and the question of courtship, or keeping company, as they used to say, has arisen. It is natural and necessary, courtship is, but only for those who are ready or who soon will be ready for marriage. If the marriage must be long delayed due to money or maturity or education or compatibility, concentrate on those things first before entering into courtship. How long should that be, that sort of intense company keeping? About a year, the authors say, but never over two. Otherwise, it devolves into an occasion of sin and easily becomes a way of life instead of a preparation for so holy and important a vocation, which is charged with the destiny of immortal souls. And remember, throughout the process, you don't prepare to receive a sacrament by sinning habitually. Where should courtship take place? Now, this may sound quaint, but the ideal still is in the young lady's home, or at least in a family dwelling, with family members present, so that the young couple can see each other just as they were raised and as they really are. Church courtship may sound corny, but there's a lot to be said for it. Actually, isn't it the case, if you're brave enough to go into marriage today, that you will need all of the help that you could get? But habitually, to be going off here or there by yourselves, and you ought never to be alone, by yourselves with all of the money that must be spent and all of the danger that is entailed, that does not prepare you in a realistic way for life. Save your money and do it the old way. It works. For the rest, the most important thing is to talk, to pray together, to communicate, and talk about what? Talk about religion and family and finances and the purpose of life, and talk about children. And we had a good talk last Sunday after the 11:30. Talk about expectations, and yes, the future. Prepare, and prepare each other for a life of commitment. Today is the feast of St. Camillus of Lellis. For years, he was a wastrel. He was a soldier of fortune and an addicted gambler. But eventually, he became the founder of a religious order to care for the sick and for the dying. He said, commitment is doing what you said you would do after the feeling you said it in has passed. That's hard at any time, but I think especially today. Yesterday, thousands and thousands of people marched against the injection, which is now reaching the next stage of the imposition of vaccine passports. If you don't have one in this total communist control, then you're not allowed to travel at any distance, and you're not allowed to shop, nor can you hold a job. What does that sound like? The mark of the beast, indeed. But they protested that in their thousands in England and France and in Greece, in probably other countries, except there really isn't any way to know about these things anymore. Please remember that COVID was never an end in itself. The scamdemic was always for the purpose of the vaccine. They want everybody registered in a database in order to impose a communist Chinese-style system of what's called social credit, which keeps score on you and controls every aspect of your life. What does the church, you've heard a lot about the vaccine and how wicked it is in all different ways, what does the church actually teach about this injection, which is not a vaccine, nor does it protect you? It subjects you to a good chance of death or serious illness. It is a nightmare. This experimentation, is it permitted for a Catholic to submit to it, to bow to the pressure, and to go along well, just to get along? No, it is not. We Catholics have a church, and that church has taught us the principles of morality. According to Catholic moral principles, this is, and they must admit it themselves, an experiment which is by no means concluded. It will go on for years. This experiment offers no benefit to the physical well-being of the individual. They will admit that too. And by overwhelming evidence, you can find this out for yourself, it presents a serious danger of harmful consequences to the body. According then to Catholic theology, it is therefore contrary to the moral law to participate in such an experiment. The grave physical risks to your health and well-being are such as to render this vaccine a mortal sin. Remember the three conditions for a mortal sin. It must be seriously wrong. We've just explained that. Secondly, you must know that it is wrong. And thirdly, you must willingly do it anyway. In these matters, look to your own soul and not to your neighbor to judge him. But it is death to the soul as well as possibly to the body. Foolish we if we lose both this world and the next. Work to save your life, to save your soul, to save your future with something of the steward's determination. You are, after all, children of God, not of the state. You are his heirs, not cogs in a great government wheel. You are co-heirs with Christ. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.